called AnchorIS, design accounting software, which I know doesn't sound very thrilling, but it does have its moments sometimes. This is a friend of mine, Chip. He was the speaker for the previous presentation, and that's where we talked about some SQL vulnerabilities with injection and techniques of that nature. And we just thought that this would be a good kind of tie-in. All I did during his presentation was click the mouse, but we thought this would be a good tie-in because I'm going to be talking about some SQL stuff too. And this is a little bit different. With this guy here, SQL 2000, as Chip had talked about previously, has really introduced some new functionality. Chip, if you want to go forward there, or next, what term should I use? How many of you were in Chip's class? A bunch of you? Yeah, that's kind of what we thought would happen, so that's why we did this. So SQL 2000 has included some new functionality where we've built in support for authentication structures, TCP/IP sockets, encryption, all of that stuff in a group of libraries called the, on the client side, dbnetlib, and on the server side, ssnetlib. Okay? When you install SQL 2000, these guys are set up as the default, TCP/IP and name pipes. It will also do that on the client side as well. Who's running SQL 2000 now? And you're just not running it, or y'all aren't really listening? Really only that many people running 2000, and who has the client side 2000 stuff on your boxes? Okay. Well, this might not be real thrilling for the rest of you, but unless you're involved in some pen tests and things of that nature. But these libraries are part of the MSDE as well. And also, as Chip discussed, many third-party vendors are rolling that out as the platform, right? I mean, that's what they're providing their product database access on. Please. So a little backgrounder here. SQL 7, is that what everybody's running now? Everybody's running SQL 7? Is anybody not running SQL Server? Y'all just want to go to sleep in this class, and that's fine. SQL 7 supported IP sockets, and it supported encryption. It supported its own authentication. But when it came down to using the recommended method of authentication for SQL Server, you needed to use name pipes for that, right? Which means you had to have 139 open from your client to the server in order to authenticate like that, or tunneled in somehow. Next, please. As I said, it's always been this integrated authentication. It's always been the recommended configuration for your setups from Microsoft. There have been several vulnerabilities that have come about that took advantage of the mixed mode authentication of Windows. You got two modes, right? You've got integrated, where the user base that attaches to your SQL Server and that gets those resources, those guys are authenticated based on NT user accounts. So you go to your NT guy, you build all your accounts, set up NT authentication, and those accounts are used whenever you're authenticating the users, right? No big deal. The second method is mixed mode. And that's really what he was showing you, is mixed mode authentication, where the SA password is either blank or weak, and that's what guys are using in their connection strings. They connect straight up in your ASP pages or what have you. So since there are some inherent problems with mixed mode authentication, that's why Microsoft is recommending the NT authentication mode. Now, who's familiar with this SMB, what is it, SMB grind? Anybody familiar with that guy? This is the latest. It's not really man in the middle. It basically initiates a conversation based on 139, an SMB packet comes to the server, that guy re-authenticates back to your box, and they break into your machine with that, right? Well, if you've got 139 and 445 blocked, then you're safe, right? For the most part. And that's always been the recommended procedure as well, to block 139, 445. 445 is the support for SMB communications in Windows 2000. So we've blocked all that stuff, and then we're supposedly safe. Now, and I just say that as a precursor, we'll see too that many server-to-server apps, stuff that also Chip was talking about, have 1433 open on their egress, right? So as they can do server-to-server communications. Who has 1433 open? Yeah. Don't say you do. Go ahead and go next, please. Okay, so here's really the deal here. The new dbnetlib that ships with 2000, the client-side tools, and the MSDE has direct integration and support for NTLM authentication, right? It's part, it's called the SuperSockets network library that ships with it. And the reason for that is because they're doing away with the mixed mode protocol that we use for encryption and things of that nature, and we've bundled everything up into this library. And what that means to us is that the NTLM credentials can now be sent out via port 1433. And you've never really been able to do that before. I mean, we've blocked 139 and 445 and thought everything was great. Well, this makes things a little bit different, because now we have to consider what will happen if our NTLM credentials, username and password hash, gets sent out to the internet via ports that we've, in some cases, explicitly opened. And I think I just said that. How about bounce one more for me? Okay. So here's really the neat thing. Something similar to this was discovered by the guys at AtStake, where the, who remembers the NTLM Telnet authentication problem? That was the same kind of issue, right? What you would do is force the client to initiate an SMB connection to you, and you could use third-party authentication. You could send back its creds to the client. There was a couple of different things that you could do, but still all of that was over 139. In this scenario, what we're really doing is specifying a network library. And I'm going to show you code and stuff like that, right? But for now, what we're basically going to do is we've set up Chip, being the evil hacker that he is. You knew that's why you were helping me, right? Is going to set up a website that makes a couple of different types of calls. Get into that in a second. But the basis of it is us being able to, on those calls, on the server side, specify what network library to use and the type of authentication we want to use. So that means I can go to a website or send an HTML mail that makes your computer, if you've got this stuff loaded, all right, this isn't default on Windows 2000. It's like you all have to run out and, you know, shut down 1433. But if you have the SQL Server tools loaded on your box, or if you have MSDE loaded on your box, which there are a lot of people that do, then this is something you're going to want to pay attention to. Because I can instantiate an object based on my code on the server side, and instantiates the object on your client side that will pipe over your NTLM credentials to me. Next, please. Okay. So I've got a lame example here of, on my website, I specify a new ActiveX connection, being an ADODB connection here, and then I'm passing along this connection string, right? I'm telling it what my provider is, I'm telling it to use integrated security, set the persistent security info to false, setting a initial catalog, and telling it the data source. And the real magic here is this guy, library equals dbnetlib. This is code that I put on my website. So I'm telling your client what library to use to connect to me. Something to add?
Yeah, I was going to just add something there. You're going to make it clear that the code that you're talking about is really, this is not an ASP page like that we're looking at here.
Correct.
This is not server-side code. He's written it on, and the code is actually existing on the server, but it's run on your machine because this is going to be actually in JavaScript on your client.
Now, and there's a couple of, thanks. There's a couple of issues here. I mean, if you have active scripting disabled, then you're pretty much okay here. But that's not the default. You also are presented with, whenever we execute this, and you'll see this, when you're presented, when your client goes to execute this code, you're going to be presented with a warning message. My problem is that warning message is really kind of lame, and I'll show you that. Jump to the next one, please. So you actually get a, this page is accessing a data source from another domain. Do you want to allow this? Dialog box whenever you go to visit my page. Well, that's really what I want you to do, and that's really what you want. What this message needs to say is you're about to send your credentials over a non-standard port that's probably open already, and I'm going to be able to hork off your username and password hash. If it said that, then you'd say, oh, okay, let me stop. And that's easily engineered around. I've got my page that'll show you that. Next, please. Then I'm going to show you a not so lame example. Anybody familiar with this object called SQL namespace? Anybody? Bueller? Anyone? This is an ActiveX object that's also loaded as part of the install for SQL 2000 client side and the MSDE when you have the client side controls loaded. The issue here is by default, the SQL namespace ActiveX control is marked safe for scripting. Right? So if I instantiate that in my code, your box just launches it. Doesn't even ask me. Doesn't even ask you. It's going to instantiate this object. And notice we have kind of the same thing here. You initialize the namespace object. Really, what that does is similar to Enterprise Manager, when you go in and it shows you all of the namespace objects and all of the things that you can do, well, that's what this control is designed to do. So as if you want to write your own client-side libraries to access SQL data, you can use a SQL namespace object to iterate through the different objects that are available on your SQL server. That's the purpose of this guy. So, and you'll also see, I can specify the server, and I specify the network library, dbnetlib. Next, please. So, there are really two more. In addition to the SQL namespace object installed by default whenever you have the client-side tools loaded, there's a SQL distribution control and a SQL merge control. They're all marked safe for scripting. Right out of the box. So when you install it, those guys too can be used. And what it's going to allow us to do is silently grab the creds for fun and profit. So let's see if we can do a little bit of that, please. Okay, so of course, don't try this at home. I just say that so Scott Culp doesn't get mad at me. And I think what we're going to do is you want to switch this guy over. I'll get on that one. I'll tell you a little story while we're doing this. The people at stake who originally discovered, was it Dildog who did the NTLM Telnet thing? David Litchfield is a guy who also works at stake. And strangely enough, he's kind of the reason he and Rooster, in Rooster for reasons I won't get into, but they are the reasons why I kind of came across this guy. The funny thing is, in an argument, they were telling me how this wouldn't work, and we kind of got off on a tangent how David Litchfield always has problems with hardware during his presentations. So of course, since I kind of came up with this scenario here, this exploit, and David Litchfield was involved with it, the curse of Litchfield has actually jumped onto me and blew up my SQL configuration. So it's still going to work, kind of. It's going to take a little bit of the glory out of it, but not too much. Here, let me go back. But you'll still see what I'm talking about here. The other unfortunate part is that network monitor, it doesn't allow me to change the font. So if any of you can see that, you're a better man or woman than I. It's not too bad. Can you guys actually make some of that out in the back? A little bit, maybe? So we're going to put, you guys are kind of hosed over there, sorry. Because we're going to split it up. We're going to put my web browser over here and then that guy over there. You want to just do a quick start of the network monitor, please, sir? See, I'm making him work a lot harder than what I had to do. I just had to click. So you've got that guy started. So really what we've got here, and this is the Hammer of God website, and I really don't do this on the Hammer of God website. And you can't really tell, but down there it says buy crap. So we're going to go and buy some crap. And here it says buy crap here. Boy, are you lucky. Click Hermod's head to access our data domain and view all the cool Hammer of God Thorware. So we're going to click the ADODB example first. Did you start the? Is it going? So let's go ahead and click, and we get this message. This page is accessing data connection. Is that what it says? See, I know what it says, and I can't even read it from here. It's accessing a data source in another domain. Do you want to do this? Who would say, well, let's not. But I mean, most people would say yes to this. I'll regress for 1 second. There's a tremendous amount of information on the net about who to target for this kind of stuff. Go to a SQL Server 2000 news group where you get 100 some odd messages a day posted up with people asking questions about SQL Server 2000. You know these people have the SQL Server 2000 client library loaded, right? I mean, there's no question about that. You can use some of the targeting tools that Chip was talking about, looking for companies that are hiring SQL Server people. There's a lot of ways that you could target. And typically, who of you that are the SQL Server people are also privileged users? I mean, you all are, right? You're either a domain administrator or you're at least a local system administrator on that box. So there's some power in getting your credentials. I mean, there's a big payoff there. I might not be able to initially use those credentials to log right back onto your machine because we all have 139 and 445 blocked, right? But I can use it to get into your server. There's a lot of different things that we can do. So he's going to say yes to this. I just want to clear that up. And then over here, we're going to see some really cool stuff. Can you... What do you think? Did it die over there? It's kind of hard to see. Chip's been a great big help for me. Nope. Yeah, go up a little bit to the TCP. Up a little more. Yeah. See, the destination on this guy is 1433. We don't even start an SMB connection on 139. Now, if my SQL Server service were really performing the way that it should be, down here in the data, and you can try this and you'll see it, you'll see the NTLM SSP authentication flag set. And what's going to follow is 16 bytes worth of my hash. Pow. And to me, that's a significant issue, right? Because there's nothing blocking this. Most of you have, really, we don't say it, but most of you allow all established traffic out. You're going to block 139 and 445 specifically. But for the most part, you're going to say, well, you know, if they're initiating something, you know, let it out of there, particularly if it's a port over 1026, because we don't use those for anything. Well, in this case, we do. So can you go up to another one? You'll see that all of these, can you, if you'd arrow up, Chip. I have to buy him dinner, too, because he tried to help me with this during lunchtime. So you should all give Chip a big hand, because he's a hell of a guy.
His machine is completely hosed.
It's really hosed. So again, you'll see the source and the destination have switched. Well, that's because, of course, the destination is 1433, high port on my end, the communication coming back uses the reverse, right? So that's the ADODB because, and the reason I call that one lame, that's the one I called lame, because it tells you. It says, you're about to do this, do you want to do it? Now, you guys probably wouldn't do that, but you might. I mean, if in the middle of the day, you're doing whatever you're doing, I see you post something on SQL Server, 2,000 news groups, and decide to be mean and nasty, I shoot you an email, say, hey, I've got the tool you're looking for, come check out my site, right? If I initiated a conversation with you a couple of times and kind of get this pseudo trust, then I really got you, right? So now what we're going to do, he's going to go, oh, good, yeah. You're so smart. So you'll see, I'm kind of doing the same thing here. This is a client-side script. You'd think I'd learn by now not to stare into this stupid thing. Client-side script, simple, ActiveX. Nothing special about this. Every one of you have that, an ADODB connection. And there's no special ActiveX control that you have to have. You have to have the DBNetLib library, though. So I'm still seeing little spots. And I basically set the object, open it, do a select splat against my pubs, and then bang. It's going to automatically pick up and use NTLM authentication. Even with, of course, you know, everybody's running Kerberos now, right? You've got NTLM disabled and all of that. No worries about low-fat running, except in this case. Because I'm controlling how your machine sends its credentials to me. It's a beautiful thing. So now let's try the other one there, hey? So he's going to click on the spinning head of Hermod. Kind of anticlimactic. Nothing happened. Well, it's not supposed to. The object executed. Are you running it over here still? God. Man! So nothing happens. You don't get a message. You don't do anything. Of course, I'm not going to say, please wait while I hork your username and password hash. I got hork from RFP. It's one of my favorite words now. And we'll see. And we'll see. Arrow down for me, sir. That's still the HTTP traffic. Oh, go up. Okay. And there he is, completely silent. I think that's pretty cool. So once I have this information, a couple things we can do with it. I can try to crack it. I might not even need to do that. I can just pass the hash back to your machine if I try to force an authentication on the backside, right? I don't need to crack your password. I have your hash. I have what your computer wants from me in order to authenticate. I'll just send the hash back to it. It's a beautiful thing. So, I had some other amusing anecdote to tell you, but I don't think it's applicable now that the SQL Server is trashed there. So, That's basically the deal insofar as the exploit itself. Yes, sir.
Tim, the default installation is a local system for SQL
It is. It is. The default has local system selected for you. So most people click next. Some other interesting things that we can do with this guy are people who provide ASP hosting. Like I can go sign up somewhere that allows me to post my ASP pages up on their servers, right? Well, think of it in reverse now. I post an ASP page that's being executed by the server. I execute maybe a, what do you say, get row set, open query, or this library here that I know exists on the ISP server. It does the same thing. Opens up a connection, but this time I have the server's credentials. If it's in local system, that's going to be a little harder. But if they use a domain account, who uses a domain administrator? Come on. A lot of people do. So that's some other stuff that you can do. So it's not just clients. You can attack. There's Chip and I were kind of going over this.
Well, and don't forget the free ISPs that give you ASP pages and so forth.
Well, yeah, well, that's what we were, you know, that's what we were just
You can
saying.
Go to town there.
So now what we need to talk about is kind of how to stop this. Before we do that, though, are there any other questions about kind of how this is working and if it's a big deal or not? Or yes, sir?
Might be a stupid question.
No such thing. Well, unless Chip asks one.
Can you set up a web server to say, like, require NTLM authentication? Would it send your hash over to the HTTP? And worry about it being let out?
The question is, can he set up a web server that requires NTLM authentication that would then send those your credentials over HTTP? If you force NT, I don't think that's going to work. I'm going to ask you that. If I go to my website, mm-hmm. I set up a resource. I was thinking that that's going to still pump them out 139. Is that not the case?
Yeah.
They do have that, and I don't know. Well, but then you still have to. I mean, I think you're still going to have to make them send that. What are my options there? That's actually kind of a cool question.
I would say from that point of view, I'm trying to get to exactly what you're trying to say. Are you trying to say you do want to send the hash over HTTP?
Uh-huh.
I'm not aware that you can do that at all.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm thinking it's going to do it over.
This is something totally different. I mean, he's talking about netlibs built into SQL Server being able to transmit the hash along their normal authentication mechanisms. So, you know, if you're already running a web server on port 80, it's not like you can just hijack that port and use it for something else. Totally different.
There is something about NTLM over port 80. I don't know what it is.
It certainly isn't integrated into SQL Server yet.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yes, sir. Certainly.
Is HIPAA required for demonstrating purposes, or can you pull a hash right from the database?
Say it one more time.
Are you just using Sniffer to demonstrate this, or can you pull a hash right?
Oh, yeah. I'm just using it. The question is, am I using the Sniffer to demo it, or can we pull it right from the stream? Yeah. I'm just using it to demo it. I could have written, like Dildog did, some application that does it all for you. We'll grab it, crack it. We'll try to do like is it Grind? I keep saying SMB Grind, but I have a tool called Grind.
No, that's something else. I think
SMB Relay. Something like that, that once I have the creds, then I could try to authenticate back to your machine. So yeah, that's just for authenticate. And I don't, my real reason for talking about this stuff is more so that we can secure ourselves against it. I don't like to provide necessarily end of the line exploit that does everything for you. I mean, I'm a fan of Microsoft's, you know, and I don't necessarily want to make their job harder. Now, I will say, and I'm glad you said that because it brought me to this point, there is a service pack 2 for SQL Server that marks these guys not safe for scripting according to Alex and those guys. But who applies that to their client?
And you're talking about SQL Server 7. Just make sure you clear that.
Pardon?
Just make sure you're talking which version of SQL Server.
I'm sorry,
Server
nope, SQL Server 2000 Service Pack 1 then. That guy supposedly fixes the safer scripting. But it has, of course, nothing to do with the ADODB connection. I can still do that. And that's a major thing. I mean, to stop the safer scripting would make it a little bit more difficult. I've got to be sneakier to get your stuff. My only problem is that a SQL Server service pack typically doesn't get applied to your developer's boxes. They go to the server, and that does no good. I mean, you're not web surfing on the server. You're not reading your mail on the server, or you're not supposed to. So there is a fix for that. So I'm glad that you brought that point up. Any other? Yes, sir.
Where did you get the specifics about internal EVM line for the DLL? And is there anything on their public that talks about the actual format of the packets?
Where the question was, where do they get the specifics on the netlib, and is there anything published that gives me a breakdown of the packet structure? It took Rooster and Litchfield arguing with me for me to even, I kind of knew about this but didn't even think it was an issue, because I've been doing this for a year now, and they were saying how if I wanted to use NTLM authentication, I had to have named pipes. And I was like, no, you don't. I do it every day in SQL 2000. And they're like, no, you don't. So we got into this argument about it. I get back to my office, and I'm sometimes egotistical, slightly. And so I researched it, and I was doing a trace. And I said, yes, see, I can do it. There's my NTLM over 1433. And then went, there's my NTLM over 1433, and I just realized it. So that's why I started digging into what that library did. Now, the specifics on those three safer scripting tools and some examples are in the library, in the MSDN library. So you can either get those off the CD, and they're probably on the internet. What I used specifically to test some other things was Dildog's work at Stake. Because it's the same structure for the NTLM authentication. So I just went to their, I've actually got a printout of it. You're welcome to it, and then you can have the URL too. If other folks are interested in the actual, yes, sir.
What version is the identity by default? Is it by 1.2, or I can just see like possibly maybe just count what I use a
low level. I don't know by default. I've got mine set. It's going to be NTLM SSP is the provider that it actually uses. Does anybody else, I'll tell you that. Does anyone want to know right now what it is, and I can go look at it? Yes, sir. Hold 1 second. Yes, sir. You can set in your, both in the local and the domain, you can set the NTLM authentication level. However, you would have to, what I've seen is if people even go the NTLM V2 route, then so as they don't break all their Win98 boxes that nobody's going around and loading the client-side support for NTLM version 2 on 98, they say send LM and NTLM, but use NTLM V2 if available. The other, I'm controlling on my side, I can just say accept NTLM, and then that's what it's going to use. So if you're going to exploit this on your friends, of course, just to show them, then what I would do is have your machine set to send LM and NTLM. And then that way you'll be almost guaranteed of the lowest level. I haven't gone into the detail of setting it to this and then setting it to that and finding if I can escalate up the version of NTLM that it uses. I didn't have enough time to do that. Another point is that encryption can be enabled on the client, but it's only dictated by the server. So in your client library, even if you've gone in and say enable encryption, if the server's not asking you for it, you won't get encrypted. So you can't set your client up to automatically encrypt this traffic. That's the real reason for the DBNet lib, is for more robust support for encryption and things of that nature. So that's something else I'd like to see fixed, because the server is the one dictating that. And even if you forced it, if I don't have a certificate installed and blah, 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 it's not going to work anyway. There was another, did that answer? Actually, it didn't. I don't know what version of NTLM it is. I'll look over here. I'm thinking it's going to be V1. So there was another question? Maybe? Bueller? Anyone? Yes, sir.
In this scenario, do you have the web server and the SQL server on the same machine?
In this scenario, it is, but it doesn't have to be.
No sandbox.
No. I can, in the... Chip, could you go back to that? Oh, do a view code for me, sir, please. Can you see this far enough back there? See, the web server is just feeding up this page. There's nothing happening here. There's no ASP. There's nothing. This is just a client-side script. So I instantiate that object. The server is right here, and that server could be anywhere.
You can serve the page on one server and actually have it do a connection to it.
Absolutely.
Is there any restrictions on the port? You were saying default 1433. Could you theoretically set up a SQL server on port 80 on another machine?
Now, the client side, we were talking about this. Now
you can't do that, because you can specify in the string.
In the
exactly,
string itself.
Yeah, right after the IP address, just put comma and a port.
So if you wanted the outgoing traffic from the client from the internal infrastructure to go out to a server on port 80, they can believe it's web server, but it's really connected to the SQL server.
Chip and I talked about that in some phone conversation. I wasn't able to make that work. So I don't know if it's some idiosyncrasy with the DBNet lib DLL that only allows you, that guy might actually call on the client configuration.
Based on what?
Because that's a registry entry. Yeah. However, in other...
But you have to remember, you have to set up the server too, right? Because the server has to be listening
and then
be able to issue the challenge. So.
Right. So what I would do, right. So I'd set up evil server on port 80, or I'd probably do port 53, TCP 53, right? Because people are going to be... Who's IDSing DNS, right? So port 80 might actually be picking, I mean, Fyodor, those guys, I know they're looking for NT stuff, NTLM on port 80. So if I did on 53, set up my server on port 53, and then specifically after the network library designation, right here, or go full screen, where it says network library DBNet lib, the report is comma port number will force it to use that port. So very possibly you could even do it like that. But again, I mean, 1433 for server-to-server communications has been open, and you've got these... Right, but the concern is what your firewall setup is, right? Correct, and absolutely. And all I was saying is that in many businesses that are doing server-to-server queries, even if they're encrypting them, their firewall guys say, okay, well, we'll open 1433 for outbound and inbound, or whatever. We'll open 1433, an established connection going out 1433. We know we're going to encrypt everything on there, so we're fine. Well, I get your developer to visit my site or send him an email, and all of a sudden NTLM's going over 1433. So all I was saying is, from a firewall configuration standpoint, it in some cases is expressly open just for that reason. But absolutely, you know, you could dump that on 53 or what have you. Yes. No. All I was doing with the sniffer was I just wanted you to be able to see, rather than taking my word for it, I wanted you to see the port addresses and see that it was, in fact, NTL MSSP. The curse of Litchfield descended upon me, though, and so I couldn't show you the NTL ASP stuff. But it's very easy to reproduce. So, I mean, you can just set up a server internally. I mean, you don't have to block ports. It's going to use 1433 on it all by itself. You don't even have to tell it specifically to do it. That's how it's going to, because TCP/IP is the first one, client and server by default. So I just used the sniffer just so you could see what was going on. Plus, I like, it's kind of cool. Other stuff before we talk about kind of what to do to secure yourselves? Well, the one thing is to apply the service pack for SQL Server to whatever boxes you've got running the client-side tools. I mean, otherwise, these guys will still be safe for scripting. And in my mind, as long as they're safe for scripting, I mean, that's going to precede whatever other settings you've got. If I can instantiate that object via HTML, email, or a web page, then I've got you. So I would recommend doing that. The other thing is that if you're only allowing, if you're by default allowing established connections out of your firewall, you need to revisit that. Okay, you might want to, if you don't have anybody making IP connections out to 1433, well then stop it there. And you could also do IDS, and you could look for NTLM, there's a couple of other things. But watch your egresses, watch the settings on your firewall for your outbound packets, and watch these safe for scripting. Now you also have to do a little bit of education. Tell people that if they ever get this accessing data in another domain, say no. I mean, because that, I'd get you. You could also say, there, that's a setting in IE too. You can go and say, flat out prevent it. So I know not, it's a little bleak, but those are the things that you can do at this point. I was working with the guys at Microsoft, and I don't know how feasible it is that we're going to have a change in the language with IE or any of that stuff. So just know that this can happen. Know that, and it's actually kind of neat functionality if you look at it in a particular way, but just be careful on how you're setting up your firewalls and your internal routing. Any other questions? Well, that's it. I'd like to say thanks to Chip here for being a more than gracious power. I won't say what I was going to say. And thanks for coming out. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your Black Hat experience.